Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Incentivise goes for home, 250 out. Incentivise races clear. Two lengths in front of Persan, Great House, Nonconformist, Montefilia, followed by Chapada. But Incentivise is coming away. Four lengths in front. And Incentivise, what a star, won the Caulfield Cup from Nonconformist. Dead Heat third, Persan or Montefilia.
Yeah, don't you love it when our next guest, Matt Hill, goes up a little octave or two about 100 metres from the line when the game is all over and Incentivise blew them away. It's time for a McCafe catch-up. The new McCafe blend, smooth, rich, with a hint of sweet berry, coffee fit for an Aussie. Matt Hill, you just love calling great races. You love calling great horses. I think we saw one of those on the weekend. Congratulations on the call, but how exciting was Incentivise?
Oh, thank you very much, Tim. Thanks for having me, and hello everyone. It was fantastic. It was a great day overall, with of course the Everest being run in Sydney, and then the famous Caulfield Cup, the 145th running of the Caulfield Cup, again in front of no crowd. But the intrigue was really there, in particular with the star on the rise and Incentivise drawing an outside gate. There was so much theatre in the race. Of course, not just the horse drawing the outside gate, but trained by Peter Moody, who was Black Caviar's trainer, of course. He hadn't won a major of the main four in Australia, the Melbourne Cup, Caulfield Cup, Cox Plate or Slipper. So he was looking to add something to the resume. Brett Prebble, who has come back to Australian racing in fine style after being a bit of a world traveller. Of course, he was quite a name in Australian racing, of course, in the 90s. So it was a real old-fashioned Caulfield Cup with no internationals. And then just to have this star of the show, and I love the way Prebble just hooked him out at about the half mile and sat outside the leaders and just toyed with them for a couple of hundred metres and then took off. And I reckon, Tim, with a lot of sports out there, if it's a one-horse affair or a one-act affair, it becomes quite boring. But in horse racing, it's so exhilarating when a champion races away, and that was fabulous on the weekend.
No doubt about that. Matt Hill, our guest, the voice of Victorian racing. Matt, we talk about horses that go through their gears. I mean, his extravagant action, and Brett Prebble said, you know, he didn't quite get around the home turn and would have liked. He didn't quite accelerate and would have liked. But he said, once he sort of looked up and said, well, there's the finish line, he looked like he could go another lap. And if you're looking Melbourne Cup-wise, I mean, the way he hit the line on Saturday, you'd be hard-pressed to see him getting beaten in the Melbourne Cup with half an ounce of luck.
Oh, no doubt. And we're going to, in the next 20 minutes, get an announcement on what Incentivise's weight's going to be for the Melbourne Cup. But you're right. I mean, you've touched on a part of Incentivise's story, which is exciting. He's still learning, Tim. Like, he's won 9 races from 12, and he's still learning his craft. And Caulfield, deceptively, isn't the biggest racetrack in the world. So they do have to get round some tight corners. And he really didn't handle that home corner that well. But once he straightened up and balanced up, he just put them away. And the fact is that he was third up. So he's going to be absolutely rock hard fit getting to a Melbourne Cup. And as we know, the Caulfield Cup's a great race in its own right, being the richest 2,400 metre race in the world. But it's also meant to be a bit of a rehearsal to the Melbourne Cup. And I can't see anything else in that race that could get anywhere near Incentivise. There's a couple of horses that'll stay on, horses such as Port Guillaume, who I think is about 100-1 in the Melbourne Cup. Even Persan ran a really good race, but they'll be playing for, second, third, fourth money in the Melbourne Cup. They won't get near Incentivise.
No doubt. We spoke to the original owner, breeder. I think Steve Tregay was on with Gary and Tim this morning, and he talked about his early days, and he's kept some ownership in the horse, and he's still very delighted. Isn't it funny how quickly people go back through the history book and couldn't wait to get up that the horse finished 8th of 16th at Toowoomba and its first start? And how does this galloper now go and win a Caulfield Cup and become one of the greatest? They've all got to start somewhere, don't they? And the fact is that, you know, Toowoomba and then once it broke its maiden status, it's never been beaten since. But it's amazing what we dig for to find out about the rags to riches tales.
Well, no doubt, because Winx was beaten, obviously. She wasn't undefeated either. And I remember she was beaten quite famously in a race at Warwick Farm one day. But you're right. And the funny thing, it's a funny game racing, isn't it? The horse that beat Incentivise, I think the last time Incentivise got rolled, hasn't won a race since. They're struggling to get out of class one grade. So it really is. But the talent was there, obviously. And it is a great Queensland connection as well, with Peter Moody and Steve Tregay being really good buddies from 20, 25 years ago. And I'm sure Steve, in the dealings with Brace Sokolsky, and when he was able to sell the horse, that Peter Moody had to train the horse. And it's a great yarn for Peter, who, after all of the trials and tribulations he had in racing a few years ago, he was suspended from racing, and he decided to spend 6 months on the road in Australia, just took a swag and went round to all the country pubs and country towns in Australia, talking to people, and just got completely away from life and racing. And he thought he'd come back into training racehorses, which he loves doing. He's got a small stable at Pakenham. But you do wonder, when horses such as Incentivize come around, he's got a couple of other nice horses too, Pete, but you'd reckon, Tim, that stable might get a bit bigger at some point.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, we've got to gear up, of course. Of course, we've got the Melbourne Cup and a lot of the other features at Flemington. We've also got a Cox Plate to be running in just under 5 days now. We're in the countdown to that. Zaki, Animo, very elegant. I mean, Probabil, it is a wonderful field. Do we rule a line through Zaki? Because I don't know if Craig Williams, you know, the way he rode Zaki, you would say, oh, that's the way, you know, one out, one back, and he could have sprinted up and won the race. Some say he should have gone to the front and put some speed into it and just rolled along. Are we going to see an improved Zaki, in your opinion, in the Cox Plate?
I think we are, for a couple of reasons. I think the template's been there before, that horses have been beaten famously in a Caulfield Stakes and then come out and won a Cox Plate. You know, that was the semi-final for Zaki, the final hit out towards a Cox Plate. And by all but reports, the gallops that Zaki's been having in the interim have been terrific. So it's the old adage of forgiving a horse a bad run. And if you are going to forgive a horse a bad run, you probably do it in a race that's set up like the Caulfield Stakes there last week. Field of five, there was absolutely no pressure whatsoever. And they took Zaki out of the comfort zone. Whereas I think in a Cox Plate, they'll roll along a little bit better. There's probably going to be a little bit of sting out of the ground, which will help Zaki. So I think the way the race pattern will shape up will help Zaki. But Animo throws a different dimension in, because he's a three-year-old, and three-year-olds have had a decent record in the Cox Plate previously. But I think Zaki's got the class edge at this stage. There's going to be a couple of other interesting horses. Call Sign Mav, a Group 1 winner from New Zealand, is going to be in the mix. And if it does rain, I mean, we're talking about a horse like Very Elegant, who's won 9 Group 1s. So it really is going to be a terrific race. It is our best race. It's Australia's best race, the Cox Plate. But I'm going to stick with the favourite there, I think.
All right, and I can just take you straight back. We've got some breaking news for you. Incentivize has copped a 1.5 kilo penalty for the Melbourne Cup.
Yep.
And will now look to become the first horse since 1977. Was that Golden Black? 77? 77, rings a bell.
I think you might be right.
Oh, sorry, I can't remember now. I was 12 if I was. I shouldn't have been in the TAB at the time. to win with 57 kilos. So it has to, yes, it definitely was Golden Black. Kilo and a half, is that the rightful penalty?
I think so. They had to find the right balance on with Incentivize. It's a tough job being the handicapper. It's a thankless task. I think that's a decent enough penalty, considering that if you have a look at where Incentivize sits next to a horse like Persan, who it's beaten the last two starts, I think that's a really good sort of gauge as to how much weight Incentivize should have got. And that's without getting too complicated into that conversation. But I think a kilo and a half is decent enough without putting off the owners from running him. I think if they went a little bit too hard, Incentivize probably would not have run in the Melbourne Cup. And to be honest, we need him. We need him in this, in our great race this year. He's great for the sport. And I reckon that's a really good, I think that's neutralised pretty well.
Yeah, nice work. So there it is. Just repeating the news, a 57-kilo impost for Incentivize after a 1.5-kilo penalty for winning the Caulfield Cup on the weekend into the Melbourne Cup. When you're sitting and you're a race caller who soaks up all the great races, and you're watching and hearing Darren Flindell call the Randwick Everest, what did you make of that? What a great race it was. And I know he only fell in, and Masked Crusader looked a bit unlucky, and Eduardo was gallant. But boy, oh boy, Nature Strips had his knockers. But when you win a race like that, it's hard to argue that he's not the best in the world.
Oh, look, and we do present the best sprinters in the world. There's no doubt about that. We've gone over to Royal Ascot multiple times with our sprinters and beaten them up. So we're very proud of our sprinters. And that's why a race like the Everest works so well. You're right, though, as a commentator, you look at many events and you think, gee, I wish I was calling that. And it was just a great race, wasn't it? But I tell you what, some horses, and Nature Strip deserves all the plaudits. He's one of those horses that has been a bit of an enigma at times, but certainly deserved that big success in the Everest. But some horses gain more respect by getting beaten sometimes. And Masked Crusader, that was an enormous run. His sectionals must have been something else the last 400 metres. So we've got, you know, and even a horse like Eduardo, who has just come from the clouds after starting off as a real kid on the block early and then trained by Joe Pride later in its career. And it's run a great race as well. We've just got the best sprinters all in all. And that race between the two of them, Nature Strip and Masked Crusader, to hit the line locked together like that, it was something else. But, and probably, to be honest, Tim, a little bit sad that we didn't have the crowds that Sydney had on Caulfield Cup Day. But they're coming. They're coming. Give it a couple of weeks at Flemington, we will see people, which is great news.
No doubt. And people on the text line saying Maccabi Diva carried 58 to win the Melbourne Cup in, I remember what year, 2005.
2005.
Yes, but the question is, which the last horse to carry 57, albeit is a little less weight, was Golden Black in 1977. So semantics, but
of course,
yes.
Instead of Isis trying to match, will be trying to match Ethereal by being the last. Ethereal was the last to do the double.
Nice work by you. Now, news just through prior to coming on air, Glenn Boss is making the move permanently back to Melbourne.
Yes, yeah, so, I mean, Bossy's been, you know, toying with where he's going to be over the last sort of 12, 18 months. And COVID has also thrown a spanner in the works. In fact, to try and ride early in the Melbourne Spring Carnival, he attempted to do quarantine in the Northern Territory, and that didn't quite work out with borders. And, you know, it's just been such a fluid process with the COVID pandemic. But I tell you what, Bossy's going to add some extra strength to the jockey ranks. We're very strong down here at the moment. We've got some of the best jockeys in the world and also some of the best up-and-comers coming through. It's very hard to be a jockey in the metropolitan area in Melbourne. You can easily get squeezed out. Very, very competitive. So I'm sure Bossy will try and link up with some old relationships down here and try and gain some really good rides as the Spring Carnival continues.
Is 50? Where are we getting to? I mean, Ollie's in his 50s now, and Bossy's 52. How long do these guys keep riding for it? And you know, while they've still got it, and they've still got good rides, and they're still winning big races, and they've still got the passion. There's obviously that's a combination. But when do you reckon when are we starting to get at the back end of your careers as a jockey nowadays, Matt? Do you reckon?
Oh, well, you would have thought that, you know, it depends how much they want to treat the body. I mean, it depends what kind of jockey you are as well, as far as wasting and how much weight they need to take off wasting. That's the hardest thing. Someone like Damien Oliver, I mean, he is remarkable. He won the Caulfield Guineas last week on a horse called Animo. He hadn't won that race for 31 years. In fact, it was one of his first ever Group 1 wins, was back on a horse called Centro in 1990. So think about, if you're thinking at the moment where you were 31 years ago, Damien Oliver was doing the same thing, wasting and not eating and training hard and riding horses. It's a long time to be doing it. But I think it's that these guys, they are so competitive. Damien Oliver, Craig Williams, Glenn Boss, they just love riding winners, and that's what drives them. They're amazing athletes, but they're also so competitive, and it just keeps them going.
Have you moved on from the grand final?
Getting there. It's going to be exciting to see what we do next year. But it made it a lot easier, Tim, when you're beaten by an elite side.
Yep, and you were. And I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it again. It's the best beaten 74-point performance I've seen in the team. To sit in the crowd, and well, I was commentating, but in a crowd where no one left because it was in Perth. If it was the Western Bulldogs in Melbourne, you bet your bottom dollar a fair few would have got up and gone after, you know, that was a blowout on the cards. Everyone stayed. It was a celebration for Melbourne, but the Dogs were gallant for the best part. It was an amazing experience to be involved in, and you're right. I don't think the doors closes on the Bulldogs anytime soon. They're going to be a genuine contender, as will Melbourne, for some time to come. Hey, mate, good to chat. Appreciate your time. We look forward to hearing you, of course, again. You did great work in the Olympics and the Paralympics and AFL Nation and calling. We've had inundated with texts from people saying just how good are you on racing as well. So you've got it all covered, Hilly. So thanks for joining us, mate.
I appreciate that, Tim. Thank you. Anytime. Look, I look forward to talking to you maybe in a few weeks.
Good on you, mate. There's Matt Hill, the voice of Victorian Racing, joining us on Dwayne's World. That was a McCafe catch-up for the new McCafe blend, coffee fit for an Aussie. Glenn Boss is going to join us next. We're going to chat with Bossy about his decision to head to Melbourne, head back down here and stay down here. He's not going back anytime soon. This is Dwayne's World.